Mother, man.
Spreading faster than a case of the clap in a trailer court. Able to shatter eardrums within a 666-mile radius. A podcast more brutal than all the rest. It's Murder Metal Fuck's going on, Mr. Chris Shaw?
Oh, what is happening, Pete? Another Tuesday.
Yeah, and I'm looking at some vodka here on the table. I'm not sure what's going on with that.
Special occasion, man.
Special occasion tonight. Okay, well, I'm sure everybody's just waiting with bated breath to know why. We have a big old bottle of vodka out here on the table and a couple of shot glasses. Should be interesting.
See what happens, because you remember what happened when I drank all that whiskey.
Oh, for fuck's sake. Do I really want to? There's not much in this bottle.
No, it's cool. It's cool. We're all right.
So we're doing episode 47. Dude, keep getting closer, stomping fucking poser ass, and just getting closer to the big 5-0, man.
Oh, yeah, dude. Can't
wait. It's going to be awesome. I know we keep talking about it. Just like we talked about the studio, but man, once it fucking came, it was off the hook.
Fucking exciting.
And this is going to be killer, man, hitting that milestone and getting some more live bands in here.
Never thought we'd make it this far.
Fuck no, dude, it's pretty crazy. I thought episode 46 was kick-ass on William Hirons, the Lipstick Killer from Chicago, 1945. But, you know, I think that was one a lot of people didn't know about.
I agree with you. The listeners seem to think that way, that they didn't know from the feedback that we got from them. So.
Yeah, big time, big time. And, you know, the common theme we've had in a lot of these with the police fucking beating, fucking false confession, some shady fucking planted trial.
Supposed planted evidence.
Yeah,
or
really,
shit like that. Yeah.
Really shaky stuff. And, of course, happening in Chicago doesn't surprise me any. You know?
Zero. Right. Not at all.
And I think shows like Making a Murderer and The Innocent Man on Netflix have kind of got people aware of that kind of stuff more than they maybe did before.
For sure, I bet.
Because, man, Making a Murderer was just huge. Of course, season two already now passed and just a big show for Netflix. You know?
Dude, that's probably all they're doing is just planting more shit on this dude just so they can get some more TV shows.
Yeah,
and
right.
Shit, man. They're like, fuck
it's like,
it.
Just keep him in prison, man.
Right,
just,
we'll make some more fucking
money. If you let
money,
him
dude.
Out, we won't have anything to talk about.
We don't got no story. Fuck.
Yeah, it's a sad situation. But that Innocent Man's another one that's really good on Netflix. So check those out. But, you know, I think people, you know, now are a little more aware with social media the way it is, and just people can get the word out pretty quick. Of course, we had CK talking Metal Church and some good mayhem stories with your brother.
Fuck yeah.
Michael and the little joke I played on him. And
that was
I've
funny.
Got a little update to that later, which was funny. So that should be good. Now, this week, dude, we got a good one, man, from fucking Russia, which is, of course, why we've got the...
That's why we have the vodka.
The vodka, yeah, because, man, vodka. Those fucking Russians, dude, with
they
the vodka.
They love their vodka.
Wow, yeah, I mean, it was just hilarious, and the documentaries I watched about the chessboard killer that we're going to talk about, Alexander Pachushkin, which... We'll see if we can say that every time without fucking it
right.
all up.
That's part of the reason, like you said, we just went ahead and left names out of this because there ain't no way I'm going to be able to pronounce these fucking things.
They're like
things.
14 fucking syllable names right. and shit with like all consonants
and shit.
You're like, what the fuck? Yeah, it's not even going to be a close to even pronounce that shit. But yeah, and he was striking all his victims, strangely, was in the same place, which was that Bitza Park. But it was humongous.
Yeah, it's like 3,000 acres. I mean, it was like...
Yeah. It's like four times Central
yeah,
Park.
Yeah, like four times Central Park. Yeah, I couldn't remember the number. That's what I was going to...
Really
I'm pretty
big
sure
area,
like
but
times.
Still all in that one area right there
yeah,
is where he did all
fucking,
his killing. And
Madman.
Yeah, for sure. And so we're going to do a couple of shots for the chessboard killer tonight. Because he's still wasting away in a jail cell over there.
You know what I'm going to do with that bottle when it's empty, too?
Oh, damn. I know what you might do with it if you think about killing somebody with a hammer after
exactly.
you're done. So it's going to be brutal. We got CK calling in. He's going to talk. He wanted to stay up in that northwest area because we did
Metal Church.
Yeah, thank you. Metal Church last week, and so he wanted to do more of the bands up that way. So Sanctuary and Nevermore, kind of tying them together, being from up there. So that should be cool. And did you like what I put around CK?
Yeah, the whole fucking...
The bloody hook?
Yeah, the bloody hook. Fuck yeah, dude.
Yeah, so he liked
it. Take the fingers off and not just going to wear them as the tool that you used to take the fingers off.
That's right, that's right. So, yeah, and I think, too, if we get out of line, fucking CCK will fucking come over here with that hook and fuck us up.
Yeah, I think so. It's pretty scary sometimes, man.
Yeah, and I've been nice, you know, not fucking with him with the wigs and stuff for
giving
a little bit.
Giving him cool shit.
Give him some cool stuff, some metal stuff. So we got a good Killer Cage match going on this week, thanks to listeners Josh Aborning, which is funny because we're going to play some Aborning.
That's fucking great.
Tonight, so that'll be awesome. And then Sue, who fucking, I don't know how many times, she's probably been on this. More than anybody for guests,
always
giving the numbers. So she
thanks,
must,
Sue.
Thanks, Sue. And then Eric McIntosh for providing the random numbers. So we've got three
it's
of them.
A little bit different. So you might be wondering, why is there three people giving out numbers? So Pete had a good idea. Tell him what it was, Pete, because it's fucking awesome.
Well, we've got a little variable. We're going to reveal this later. But what we got is the two of the listeners picked the traditional killer and objects like we do every time. But this time we had numbers 1 through 10 with some other stuff on there, and we'll reveal it later.
And how it came about.
Yeah, and so we had one listener pick a number from 1 to 10, and then that was the variable. And it's pretty cool. I think it's pretty awesome. And we could do a lot of combinations like that.
Definitely, so, dude.
Pretty funny. Now, this time we got a really strange matchup, but we got Ronnie DeFeo from the fucking Amityville Horror House, which if anybody's familiar with that story, those were the murders that precipitated the quote-unquote haunted bullshit
house,
there,
yeah.
Which was later found out to be a hoax. But anyway, Ronnie DeFeo did get convicted of murdering his whole family in the house. So he was pretty, you know, crazy motherfucker, obviously. And then the other one, dude, the bitch of Buchenwald. I mean, Ilsa Cook. Now, you might be like, okay, that's a chick, okay? This chick was fucked.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, she was like Ed Gein fucked. Like lampshades of human skin.
Yeah,
and
she's
all
coming
of...
up sometime soon, too.
Yeah,
so.
We are going to be doing a podcast on her. Her husband and her ran the Buchenwald death camp in I don't know if it was in Poland or where that one was. But nonetheless, they were Nazis. They're pieces of shit. But she's up against Ronnie DeFeo, you know. So that should be funny. We get some good objects this time, so it should be good. And then we get the variable
fucking,
thing.
Yeah, the little twist at the inside there. So, yeah, it should be fun.
I think people will like it. Also, we've been posting stuff on YouTube. I hope you guys have been checking it out. We put episode 45 on there, the Mad Gasser. We had old Joey Cashman in here doing
talking
that.
Some good shit. So the video is up now.
It is. And you can watch the entire 2 minutes and or 2 hours.
Like,
two minutes.
Damn, what the fuck?
2 hours and 10 minutes of that. It's funny stuff. And then we also put up the Goremonger live in the gray room video over the weekend. So if you're not watching that stuff or you don't know what we're talking about, go on YouTube,
search Murder Metal Mayhem,
you'll find us. Subscribe
to the page and boom,
then you'll get notifications when we put up new stuff. So also thanks to our newest sponsor, dude. This was a last minute thing. They called me up to do a quick advertisement.
Like, hey, man,
commercial.
Can we get on your show, dude?
Yeah, and who is it this time, dude?
This week, Pogo Party Fun wanted us to do a little spot for them. So we got Pogo's Party Fun, a little ad for them coming up in the show.
Yeah, think you guys will dig it.
Get you some information on how that goes.
Right. If you're looking to plan a kid's birthday party, Pogo Party Fun would be a
That'd
good place
be probably
to
the best one, yeah.
So we've got a full fucking plate tonight, dude. And I think it is time to bust out this vodka, because I think what we need to do when we start the murder segment, we need to do...
Just do a shot real quick. Fucking hey, dude. I'm down.
All right. Well, fuck yeah. So I think we got to find a hammer. Have you got a hammer around over there somewhere?
Right there hanging on the
wall,
bro.
Oh, we got one on the wall. I think we could go bash some fucking heads in Bitsa Park.
Let's go. Let's go get our murder on Russian style.
Fuck yeah.
want destroys you. When you're out of cash and your soul is spent, he'll want destroys you.
Fuck yeah,
fucking
dude.
A, dude.
Indestructible Noise Command with Bonesaw Ballet.
Fucking shredding that shit.
Tearing it the fuck up. Fuck yeah, Connecticut dude. Boys. Now, we made a promise that we were going to, for the listeners, that we're going to drink a shot of vodka here as we go
got some
into the murder.
Vodka right here.
What kind is it? It's supposed to be fucking some like nice shit.
I don't know.
New Amsterdam. Excuse the fuck out of me. So we're going to do a little clinking. I don't know if you'll be able to hear it.
Yeah. Clink.
All right.
Fucking vodka, man.
Oh, boy. That reminds me of being a teenager and just taking whatever I could find in my parents' liquor cabinet.
Yeah, and vodka was the best.
And mixing stuff because it looked like water.
Yeah, put fucking more water in it. Like fucking 151's 80 proof, man. Because that's fuck how yeah. much I took.
So we're drinking a little vodka here, and we're talking the chessboard killer, Alexander Pechushkin. So that's a fucked up individual, to say the least, dude.
Yeah, just a little bit.
And the Russians called him the Bitza Park Maniac for a while, which is kind of a cool name, since that's where all the killings took place.
It's better than the secondary names for the Mad Gas.
Oh, God, those were awful.
Yeah, the Bitza Park Maniac ain't, Bitza Park Maniac ain't so bad. Fucking some of them other names.
Yeah,
side
they
names
were
for,
pretty bad.
Yeah.
Pretty bad. He was known, though, the reason why they call him the chessboard killer, because he put the numbers of his victims on the squares of his chessboard.
Yeah, didn't he, like, fill in the white spots black, and then he did something else with the black spots,
too,
so it looked so it wasn't black anymore,
right.
Whatever. But
yeah, it was really fucked up the way he did it, but his goal was what? Who was he trying to surpass?
Oh boy, Andre Chikatilo, man.
You know it.
The Ripper of Rostov.
That's right, the Red Ripper, the Ripper of Rostov, Andre Chikatilo, another Russian.
That was, I can't say his name. Chessboard killer.
Pechushkin.
Pechushkin, god damn it. Now, Chikatilo was Pechushkin's hero.
He was, man. That's pretty fucked up idol to have, but he, I'm sure we'll be doing one on Chikatilo one of these days.
We got
just
to eventually, just because he's so fucked
he
up.
He was
man.
Fucked up. And we dig the more obscure, of course, so the chessboard killer fits that perfectly, because some of you might not know who he is. So that should be fun to discuss some really dark and grim shit with you guys tonight. Also, we mentioned this earlier. We are not going to try to pronounce these fucked up Russian names.
Pechushkin's about all you're getting
out of me. Yeah, Pechushkin is as far as we're going to go. If you really feel neglected that we didn't do that, you can go research this stuff on your own
and
pronounce them all day
long.
Yeah,
you can look at them and be like, oh, I get it.
I meant to, totally off topic, but kind of along the lines of somebody complaining or feeling neglected. I saw on our Facebook page today where I had posted the top 10 cities.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I did see that.
And the dude said, these are amateur numbers or something like, or whatever he said.
Yeah.
And I was like, I couldn't tell if he was trying to be funny or trying to be a dick. I don't know who this dude is.
Not hurting my feelings, though.
No. So all I said was, you do realize those are percentages. Like, I didn't know if he thought that meant, like, we had 15 listeners in Chicago.
Right.
No, that's 15% of the total. So
yeah,
I said, weird. I'm not sure what you're trying to say here, but those are percentages of the total number of people listening in those cities.
Right.
And that's all I said. And then he deleted his comment because it's not on there anymore. So I thought that was kind of funny. But no offense, dude.
Yeah, no
I just
offense,
was like,
dude.
Whatever, man. Read your that little two circles with
the line in it.
Percentage. So Pechushkin was born in Moscow, April 1974. Much more modern case, you know, than some of these that we've been doing in 1800s and stuff. And like to mix it up.
Dude's only 4 years older than me, so
yeah.
I mean, he was doing this shit when I was fucking
right
around the same age.
Right,
so.
Yeah, it's crazy to think of that, because, yeah, it's, you know, we're alive, and at the same time, some crazy shit like this was going on. He was born to a poor family, but supposedly pretty normal childhood. I mean, I didn't see anything, like, abusive or anything.
I didn't either.
As we've seen with these serial killers before, there is some sort of trauma that a lot of times changes their lives and puts them down a fucking dark path. And for this dude, again, with the fucking head injury.
The head injury. Oh, and his dad, when he was six, his dad did bail on him.
Yeah, I couldn't remember. I thought I had seen the dad left, but I couldn't remember any circumstance.
When he was like 6 years old, the dad just left. Bailed.
Okay. Because I knew all they talked about was his mom. So I figured the dad either died or bailed or both. Yeah. But, you know, he got fucking wonked in the fucking head. Bad. I mean, we've talked about these head injuries before. You know, we talk about Gacy, fucking Richard Ramirez.
He got hit in the head about the same way as Berkowitz, I think, with the swing and shit.
Yeah. It fucking hit him hard because it damaged his frontal cortex.
Right.
And, you know, that's some pretty serious shit. I guess he
fucking fell backwards out of the swing, hit his head, hitting the ground, got up, and then the swing came back and smacked him in the front of the head when he came back up.
Yeah.
So, double fucking tap.
Big time. And he was, you know, in the hospital for a period of time. And the doctor said, you know, that causes poor impulse control and an increase of violence. So that pretty much sums up about all these crazy fuckers we talk about.
Especially the ones that got hit in the head.
Yeah, is inability to, like, chill the fuck out and extreme fucking violence beyond, like, what a normal person would even dream of. And we do see this even with football players. Like, remember the Junior Seau issue?
Right.
And then Chris Benoit, the wrestler, same fucking thing.
Aaron Hernandez from...
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
It's just fucked up. And we're going to do Benoit next month. We had a listener suggest that, and we're going to be doing him next month. It's on the schedule, so that should be good. Another common thing we see with a lot of these guys is that they were picked on when they were in school, bullied and shit like that. And Petrushkin, same thing.
Same thing. Everybody fucked with him when he was in school because after the head injury, he wasn't right anyway.
Totally. Right. Yeah, and if you look at pictures of him, it looks like something, you know, isn't quite...
He looks like a serial killer.
Something's fucked up with him. I know a lot of these guys look like really normal, but this motherfucker does look like a serial killer. Yeah.
Which is something else he has in common with Chikatilo.
Right, yeah. Chikatilo was fucked, dude. But... Chikatilo at his trial, remember he's waving his dick at the judge and shit. What the fuck, man?
I forgot about that. That's fucking hilarious.
Yeah, it's video of that. He's fucking,
you see this thing?
Swinging his fucking dick and shit. What the fuck? But his mom moved him from mainstream school because they were picking on him and calling him things like that retard, which is fucking awful.
It's pretty fucking...
Yeah, that's point blank
at then pointing at him saying that retard. Yeah. Fucking.
And of course, at that time, that word was more acceptable. Nowadays, that's a taboo word.
Right.
Shit's
retarded.
She put him in a school for kids with learning difficulties, which was fucked up because that doesn't help his self-esteem.
Yeah, especially when he's already getting called retarded and shit, like,
right?
And then all of a sudden mom's gonna throw me up. But if I understand, if you need it, you need it,
right? But he was actually a smart kid. He was just fucked up because of his head injury, and he was backward with other kids, and this just pushed him further into violent thoughts and stuff like that. So he was kind of damned, really, with all these, like, the perfect storm, you know. Now, his maternal grandfather felt he was very intelligent and kind of wasting away in that school.
Yeah, so he had him come live with him. He's like, fuck that.
You got to give it up for grandpa, man. He tried, you know, he took him in and thought, you know, if he was raised in a different household with a more of an emphasis on learning and education, that he would kind of
especially if his grandpa was like a smarter dude, which it seems like he was, and teaching him. If he had a little learning difficulty learning stuff, but he was intelligent and he's able to learn better from one person being one person one-to-one instead of a class full of kids that aren't learning shit.
Yeah. Cause he really took to the grandfather, but the thing that's fucked up is he still didn't fit anywhere. And the violence continued into his adolescence and just kept ratcheting up. As, you know, puberty fucks with people anyway, but let alone having all this shit going on. So, again, just that boiling over fucking crazy shit going down. But, you know, the grandfather tried, but he did teach him how to play chess, which was cool. He really got into that.
He
developed
in that really big. He played with his grandpa and all the older kids in Vista Park all the time. Yeah. All the older men in Vista Park all the time.
Yeah. And he was, you know... in tournaments and he was becoming pretty good at it, Even though he was still getting picked on and fucked with. I'm sure playing chess didn't help with the kids either.
Yeah, what are you playing chess for, you nerd?
I don't know. Maybe in Russia was more accepted than
yeah,
than
it, here, it is. Probably I'm pretty sure it is in Russia. I think I read some chess
players over there. But unfortunately, the grandfather died soon after that, and Alexander was forced to move back with the mother. But like you said, the father was out of the picture, so it's tough single mom situation. And in Russia, Moscow, I'm sure that wasn't easy. She struggled.
Couldn't be, no.
Now, he was, like any kid would be, devastated at the death of his grandfather. And that's when he started doing a little drinking vodka. So just like any good Russian, man, they're just pounding that shit. It was crazy.
More vodka.
He continued to play chess with the older guys at the park, like you were saying. But now that he started drinking, though, that started to affect his play. He wasn't as sharp, and he was going backwards, and he wasn't progressing with his chess. So his grandfather dying really fucked him up.
It's like, well, Grandpa wanted me to do this. Now he ain't right here, and I miss him a lot.
Yeah, and he doesn't have that accountability anymore either, with the grandfather gone,
Yeah, or have the grandpa helping push you into do something,
maybe. Right, totally. So, it's got to be tough on him, and obviously it is. Now, I was reading this. We were talking about this before the show, of his hobby he started to take up. Dude, what the fuck?
Like, get a video camera and go around terrorizing little fucking kids all the time. Record their reactions and fucking go home and watch it and laugh about it and enjoy it.
Oh, yeah.
And when we were talking about fucking... hung that fucking kid, a younger kid than him.
Oh, yeah.
Hanging this kid over the fucking, off the roof of this building by his ankles.
Right.
And said videotaping it.
Throw him to his death and shit, and I got control over you and all this shit.
He didn't do it, but.
Yeah, he scared the fuck out of him, and he videotaped the kid freaking out, so that's pretty fucked up.
That's a good hobby to have.
Yeah, so again.
It's more like evidence.
Big time. Can you imagine getting a copy of some of that shit?
God damn, that'd be fucked.
But they, you could see kind of an escalation, man. He's just getting more and more and more fucked up, and the drinking isn't helping. And that's when he starts to get really into the Chikatilo thing. He starts to kind of obsess about what Chikatilo had done, and he vowed to beat Chikatilo's body count of 53. And that's where he came up with the idea to use the chessboard, which is 64 squares, and killing one victim for each square. So that became kind of his motivation. Yeah, big time. and he became, began killing more frequently and just brutally. I mean, he was getting so good at it was like impossible to catch him. What he did in the beginning was he was killing these homeless guys in bits of park, and he was fucking bludgeoning them with a fucking hammer.
Yeah.
Damn.
And then you throw them in the drainage pipe or whatever.
Yeah, that sewer. He would throw them down the sewer and the bodies would be gone.
Yeah, because the current just drag them down fucking... Yeah, that would fucking suck.
Yeah, so there were a lot of them that were thrown away that way, but then there were some he started bashing the skull in, and then he would take the
vodka bottle. After you kill them, the fucking just cram the vodka bottle in the fucking hole in their head and shit. Like,
totally.
There was one he said, like one of the interviews or whatever. Did you see the videos when he was out reenacting the fucking shit?
Yes.
He's like, I was going to use a stick, but it was too big, so I put the vodka bottle. Yes. Like, you just that sticks. What the fuck, dude?
Well, that's how he would lure him out there, was with the vodka. He would say, hey, if you come with me, I'll give you a drink. And so the homeless guys would follow him. Then he would kill him and
come up behind him with a hammer and just smash
your fucking
head. Put
the bottle in their head. And yeah, it's just fucked up, man. I just can't imagine finding somebody that has a fucking bottle sticking out of their head like that. It's just fucked. So he, he said in interviews that he felt like God when he murdered. So he got off on that shit, like when he was hanging the kid out the window. He got into that control shit, which a lot of these guys do,
He said he felt like their dad because he was giving him the doorway to the next life or whatever.
Yeah, I did.
It was so fun. Like, I felt like their dad.
That's really fucked up. He compared killing to not being able to kill.
Like not having food.
Yeah.
It's like not killing for me is like you not having food.
Right.
holy shit, dude.
I know. Yeah. And he said he had to do it. And then he went on to say, when you kill, you want to live, which is kind of fucked up. Very distorted sense of reality, obviously, partially from that brain injury and all the abuse, you know, the picking on him, the bullying, all that kind of stuff wrapped up on top of the losing the grandfather and drinking. I mean, just one thing after another.
And having Andre Chikatilo as your idol.
Right, right. I wonder if he had a Chikatilo like fathead up on his wall, you know? Or a bobblehead, a Chikatilo bobblehead. That'd be badass.
That would actually.
If there is one, I want it. So hit me up on Facebook if you've got access to a Chikatilo bobblehead. So yeah, I mean, just some crazy shit. Before his trial, the psychiatrist said he was sane, but suffered from narcissism and an antisocial personality disorder. I think that's being kind of nice. I don't know.
It's giving him a little bit more credit than he fucking deserves.
Yeah, I mean, he's just a fucked up individual. And so, yeah, I mean, it's obvious. Yeah, this dude's got some serious issues. But they did find him sane to stand trial, at least. Now, the police were still not able to gain any ground with the murders because, like you said, he was putting him in the sewer. He was, some of them were hidden out in the woods so they couldn't find him. Yeah. The public,
that tells you how big this fucking park is.
Oh,
though.
Yeah.
When you fucking just able to fucking leave a body in the woods, it's a park that everybody goes to.
Yeah, it goes years that some of them they never found.
Right,
you know?
Yeah. I mean, that gives you an idea of how big the fucking park actually is.
Yeah, if you look at a map of Moscow, they show it in one of the documentaries, this fucking park is humongous. It's like right in the middle. It's on, I think, the west side, but it's huge. I mean, it's a really big area. And like you said, I mean, to be that big that you could hide a body or several bodies
and not be found for years. Yeah.
So the people were freaking out. You know, the victims are starting to pile up. Some had suspected it was the killer had escaped from a nearby mental hospital that was right there and was hiding in the woods and killing random people. But of course, this was just conjecture. Nobody really knew. They were just kind of grasping at straws. The cops didn't know what the hell. No clues other than the same MO with the hair, you know, head bashed in and the vodka bottle.
Vodka bottle or something, random items stuck in there. Like,
yeah, it's fucked up.
Vodka empty, now you drink.
So, and like you said, he's throwing them down into this well. Now, the one woman, did you see the one that survived? That is fucked. She was pregnant.
She's pregnant as fuck.
And she went on, wasn't it like a picnic or something with him?
Yeah, they went on a picnic with her. I think they worked. Yeah, because they worked together. And they went. Because
she told her son that she was going with him.
She left a note for her son saying that who she was with.
Right.
And left his phone number or whatever.
Right.
And when his mom never came home and he saw the news that they found a dead body in the park, he called
and he answered.
He answered and he says, oh, I haven't seen her in a couple of weeks, which the kid knew was a fucking lie.
Right. So and then he didn't answer it again. Didn't answer the phone again. Yeah. You imagine that, though, talking to that fucking dude after he just killed your mom? That's
God damn it, dude.
That's fucking awful. So, yeah, I mean, just very, very fucked up is putting it mildly. But he throws her down this fucking well, and she catches herself before she falls into the water. And so she fucking, it was like 24 hours she was in there, and she was pregnant.
She was pregnant. She was, like, trying to hit her while she was hanging on, so she just, like, let go. And was able to catch at another spot where there's a ladder.
Right.
Fucking went up the ladder, but couldn't get the manhole cover off.
Yeah, and eventually somebody heard her screaming,
and they came and got her, dude. Could you fucking imagine that?
Oh, my God. Yeah, that's just unfucking believable. But it's amazing she lived, but can you imagine the fucking nightmares you'd have over that shit? I mean, that's just fucked. Yeah, but what really blows my fucking mind, yeah, for sure, is that the fucking cops didn't do anything. She went to the cops and told them who he was and everything, and they didn't even do anything.
For the dumbest reason, because she was not supposed to be in that part of Russia. She didn't have the right...
Oh, yeah.
She didn't have the right papers to be in that area of Russia. So it was they're basically like, well, if you just leave and drop these charges, we won't arrest you for or whatever for being here undocumented, is basically what happened with it. So that's how fucking shitty is that? This bitch just about got murdered.
Right.
And you're worried about some documents and shit.
Right.
You need to go find the person that is killing all these people.
Well, yeah, you would think that they know that, you know, this dude's out there running around, and that would definitely make you think, hey, maybe this guy's killed some of these other people, you know?
Of course.
So Petrushkin, though, he finally fucks up. His final victim, 36-year-old woman in 2006, was found with a piece of a bus ticket in her pocket. And that was definitely where they were able to start putting this thing together, because they go to the bus station. Of course, modern. They've got video and shit. They look at the video. They see her getting off the bus. They see her meet up with Petrushkin. And so they know, hey, there he is, you know, and they were able to get him.
He went pretty easy, too.
Yeah, he didn't put up a fight or anything.
Dude, there was that other one, that skater. Sorry, I'm kind of backtracking a little bit. All right. That other dude that got away, that skater kid.
Yeah.
He was like a skateboarder punker kid, and he got away.
Oh,
he
yeah.
went and told the fucking cops about it, and they didn't do nothing about it.
Blew him off because he was just a skater
and
kid.
And then he was at the train station, saw him at the train station.
Right.
Told the cops, that's the fucking guy that did it, and they didn't believe him. So he just went over there and started beating the shit out of him, and the kid didn't get arrested, but the cops pulled him off of him, told him to get the fuck out or whatever. So
wow.
Two times, he's like, that's the motherfucker.
Yeah, that's fucked up, man.
That's fucked.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's unbelievable to think that, you know, like you said, they're pointing at him and fucking telling him, that's the kid, that's the guy, and just like shrugging their shoulders.
Petrushkin actually walked into the police station one time and said, I killed many people.
Right.
And they just thought he was a drunk and just told him, get the fuck, like, go.
So he finally gets his ass arrested, though, June 2006, without much effort or fight. Proudly, though, confessing to the killings at Bitza Park. He's all about it.
Had that God complex,
yeah,
man.
He had that God complex big time, and he was proud of that shit. And he was proud that he killed more than his idol, Andre Chikatilo. So, but
that's a fucking feat to meet, too.
That's going to come into question here in a minute. Now, the police took Petrushkin, as you mentioned, out to Bitza Park to have him reenact.
So fucked.
And they were saying how he was like obviously like getting off on it.
Yeah,
like,
and if you watch the videos, he's just nonchalant.
Don't
even give a shit. I'll show you exactly what I did. And they were surprised at how much he actually remembered.
Oh, yeah, like the way they fell, like the direction they rolled. I mean, he really remembered everything vividly, you know.
Yeah, so if you guys go look up Petrushkin on YouTube, you'll see the videos of him reenacting these murders.
Oh, yeah.
And it's pretty fucked up. He's handcuffed to that that one cop the whole
right.
time and shit, but they
right.
got a dummy there. He's whacking it with a fucking hammer.
Oh, yeah.
And shit.
Oh yeah, yeah. You just type in chessboard killer and you'll see it. There's several of good ones out there. What we were laughing about was that you know, they obviously, you know, he was getting off on this shit, and he was all proud that he killed more than
Chikatilo.
And there were some that he wasn't able to prove. He couldn't find the bodies. They took him to, there were some sites where they did find bodies they didn't know
about. But not all
about.
Of them, yeah.
Didn't find all of them.
And then also in the well that he was putting them in, the current fucking drug, some of them,
oh, yeah.
who the fuck knows where.
Oh, for sure.
Because it went into this big old drainage thing, and
right.
who the fuck knows where
yeah,
it went.
It could be anywhere. Now, during the trial, just as they did for Chikatilo, those pictures are fucking classic.
Yeah, they are.
They had Petrushkin in that plexiglass cage
to protect him.
To protect him, because there was some pissed off motherfuckers in there. The family.
Understandable.
Right? Family of the victims. The public was fucking outraged. And he was convicted on October 24, 2007 of 49 murders. Four shy, though, of Chikatilo's 53. He didn't surpass. And so I thought it was great. He urged the cops to credit
him.
I
had four more,
11
more. Yeah, I had 11
more.
For
a total
of
60. But since he wasn't able to prove it, the official number for the chessboard killer is at 49. And you know he's still fucking salty about that.
You know he's sitting in prison right now just fucking pissed. How
right?
can I prove I did this?
Yeah, because he's thinking all these fucking idiots doing podcasts about me are going to make fun of me.
That fucking meme I fucking showed you.
Yeah. That was good. What was the, so our listeners, I've got it on my phone, I think.
Nah, it was basically like the, what did it say? It's like the worst part of getting murdered is getting murdered than in a, and then a podcast says, hey, we got a real awesome one for you this week.
Talking about you
talking
being murdered.
About you being
murdered. Yeah, that was great. That was a good, that was a good meme. So yeah, you know that had to piss this fucking idiot off. And so he's stewing about it. And what was that, the prison you said? The Black Dolphin?
The Black Dolphin.
Black Dolphin. We're definitely talking about maybe doing one on that.
Just on that prison. Brutal, it's fucking brutal shit. Fucking fuck, man.
Maybe we can get somebody like, I don't know, like Chase or somebody in here, and we can like handcuff them and make them do that fuck, shit.
Oh, God, dude. I wouldn't want to do it. The position they got to walk around in? God.
I'm not to pick on Chase. I just
Random name.
Somebody. Somebody. You pick up somebody here in the neighborhood, but then we'd probably have the police here, and that wouldn't be good. At the time, though, Russia did not have the death penalty, so he got the max, which, of course, life in prison.
It seems like an odd country to not have the death penalty. Totally. For some reason, I don't know why Russia seems like...
I know. They seem somewhat symbolized, because when Chikatilo got sentenced, they like took him out in a courtyard and put
shot his ass.
And that was the end of that. That's swift justice there. But, yeah, they didn't have it anymore, at least at this time. But brutal, though, the first 15 years he had to do in solitary. So that's still going on. If you do the math, he's still got a few years yet to go. So,
could you imagine 15 years by yourself, the only fucking people you got to talk to and that don't even talk to you is the guard?
Yeah.
I don't even think they're allowed to talk.
I don't think so. Because, no, it's a pretty fucking quiet fucking place.
Yeah, right? Goddamn. I seen that Locked Up Abroad with that fucking shit on there. I was like, God damn, man.
I know. Me and Jenny were talking about that, too. That's some harsh-ass shit. So he's doing some nasty fucking time, man. Yeah. It's not anything good, that's for sure. That's where they make them walk stooped over with their heads down and
handcuffed with their arms in their air and shit.
Yeah, all fucking uncomfortable. And so I'm sure he's not having a whole lot of fun there. He's 44 years old now and could conceivably be there for another 30 or 40 years, of course, depending on how long he lives. So, damn. I'd rather do the Chikatilo bit and get a 22 in the head than that. That's fucking awful.
That's fucking shitty, especially because, you know, like, I'm sure he ain't got no fucking family or anything. No, fucking no shit like that. It's him in his world where he can't kill.
Right. Big time. The research for this episode was done with a few different documentaries. I did listen to a few podcasts. It was a really good one. Dan Cummins does a great one for Time Suck.
I love Time Suck.
Yeah, and that's a good
one.
Dan
gets deeper into it than we do.
He does.
And he pronounces names and shit. So
yeah, and he's obviously he's a stand-up comic, so he's really funny. It's good, it's good stuff. He does a lot of funny voices. His Chikatilo is fucking hilarious.
His Chikatilo is a shit. It's Chicken Joe.
With the shame cock and all that shit. So, yeah. But he had a good one on Pachushkin, if you want to check that out. I don't know. What did you...
Obviously, that documentaries. I did come across another podcast that I downloaded. It wasn't too terrible.
Yeah.
I listened to it. They did like a three... No, it was a single one. But, yeah, I listened to that. It was good times.
That's cool. Yeah, I don't know if Last Podcast has ever done the chessboard.
I don't think
killer.
So.
I don't think so.
I looked through. I've tried to find it. No.
So, yeah. So there's some stuff out there if you want to read about him or watch the docs that are out there. Now, next time, we're going to be featuring the prostitute-killing cannibal, Arthur Shawcross, one of my favorites. Fucked up,
dude.
I mean, big time.
Fucked.
Yeah, he was a Vietnam vet that saw some grisly shit over there. Or at least that's what he's claiming.
And it supposedly went to his head.
Yeah, yeah. And there's some shit I was reading in the book about him sleeping in a lead-lined, like, footlocker because he was afraid of like artillery and shit at night.
Jesus Christ!
But the lead, they think he had like lead poisoning.
That's what talked his
well. One of the
his head
things
up.
That fucked with him. So. It's going to be a good one, but yeah, he killed prostitutes, fucking ate parts of them, went back like Bundy did and had sex with them and shit. It's pretty fucked up, so.
Nastiness.
It's going to be brutal, and that's next week. But I don't know if you, do you hear something in the distance?
I hear that fucking 920 coming up, man.
Fuck yeah. We're going to head out of here with a little train and a little whistle and also a band from Russia. called
Poker Face
with a song called Chessboard Killer, and it's about him. So we thought that would be cool.
Nice little tie-in to
it. Yeah, it's metal, but it's a chick singer. They got a video if you want to see the video for Poker Face. But if you just type in Poker Face,
you're going to get Lady Gaga or some shit.
So type in Chessboard Killer, and they'll pull up with the documentaries. So anyway, here's CK coming in on the train. Get our fucking metal. Yeah, man, some Russian metal, Poker Face.
It's nice finding new music when you're fucking goddamn looking up research for the podcast and you find some new music. Dude, that's fucking great.
Well, they wrote that song, Chessboard Killer. It's like, fuck yeah, we had to put them on there.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got a girl singer. And yeah, it's pretty cool shit. So we got CK on the phone coming in on the 920. CK, how are you doing over there in Danbury?
I'm good. What's going on with you guys?
Kind of surprised, dude. Danbury slipped out of the top 10,
happened,
man.
Dude?
Well, you saw what I wrote. I'm like, what the fuck?
I know.
That's what I responded. I said, you got to bring the sexy back, apparently.
Hell yeah.
Something.
That's pretty fun.
Maybe you should do it shirtless on your porch or something and see what happens.
Oh, God. That would fucking drive people away, dude.
Dude, we see the Ecuadorian fucking... listeners just explode, man, over there. I guarantee it.
See, maybe that's it, you know.
That might be the hidden fucking thing there.
Yeah, they may be telling their relatives in Ecuador, who the fuck knows.
Right. Well, you got something to talk about. We were sticking up in that northwest U.S. area, and you wanted to continue in that theme for this week. So what do you got?
Yeah, we're going to do Sanctuary/Nevermore. And the reason why we're doing both bands is because more or less they are, for the most part, the same band.
I was going to ask about that because I've never really listened to them. I was like, it's the first time doing two bands. They must have a lot in common or something.
Yeah, and I'll get into the reason behind why they retired one band and started a new one. They started like in 1985 in Seattle, Washington. They recorded a demo. Dave Mustaine caught the demo, got him signed to Epic Records, and he actually produced their first album, Refuge Denied, which came out in 87. No, I'm sorry, in 88. I apologize, 88.
And this is Nevermore, right?
No, this is Sanctuary.
Okay, Sanctuary.
So they started as Sanctuary.
They started as Sanctuary.
Okay,
all right. Gotcha.
And, so that was a Dave Mustaine produced album. And of course, when it came out, you know, you really didn't hear much. You couldn't sample anything. And you saw the cool cover and you saw it was produced by Dave Mustaine. So, hey, you have to buy it. A really good album. Kind of like, it's kind of thrash with a little bit of, I would say, traditional metal mixed in with it. The singer, Roald Dane. Great voice from day one. He's always had a great voice. And that's what really got me into them was his vocals. They released Refuge Denied 88, toured with a lot of people. I saw them live with somebody. They opened for somebody. I can't remember who the fuck they opened for.
Was it Oz?
No, I saw Oz. They performed a 3-hour show with just Fire in the Brain.
Over and over again.
Over and over again for 3 hours.
Different remixes of it. Yeah. Wow. To like a reggae beat or something.
Yeah. Just shoot me.
Fire in the Brain, man. Driving me insane, man. Fire in the Brain.
Ja in the Brain, man.
That's good. That's good.
So, you know, they toured heavily for 2 to 3 years. Went back in the studio, produced another album called Into the Mirror Black, which was a step up from the second album, a big step up. Started to introduce a little bit more progressive influence into the music. So this is like 1990, and they're on Epic Records, and they're from Seattle.
Right. That's
so, you know, you get near that time, you know what's starting to happen in Seattle at this time.
Yeah, the grunge is starting to come out.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, for better or for worse, for what it is, Epic was starting to kind of put a little pressure on them to change their style a bit to fit more into what was upcoming in the Seattle scene.
That's what record labels do, man.
Yeah, well, they want to sell records, you know? Right? So, unfortunately.
And basically, Worldane and the other member, or two other members, were like, you know what? We're not doing this. So to get out of the record contract, they just disbanded Sanctuary.
Nice tactic.
And eventually went on to form the band Nevermore.
Okay, that makes sense.
Which was formed with basically two-thirds of Sanctuary at the time. So, he formed Nevermore. They recorded some demos, got interest from Century Media Records. And to be honest with you, the first two albums, they were okay. They weren't anything really special. The self-titled Nevermore and the Politics of Ecstasy were, they were okay, but it didn't really do anything for me.
Quite the same the Sanctuary was.
Yeah, it really didn't do anything for me. And actually, on the Politics of Ecstasy is when Pat O'Brien was in the band.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah, that was before he joined
Oh, yeah,
Cannibal
I forgot
Corpse.
That's where he came from, was Nevermore.
You know what? Now that you mention that, I do recall that.
Yeah, that's
like,
interesting.
Reading about that.
But in 99, he came out with an album called Dream of Neon Black, which changed everything for me about this band. It was just a step above anything they ever did with Nevermore and Sanctuary. It was just a killer album. At that time, they had Tim Calvert from Forbidden in the band as the guitarist.
Sweet.
So he was the guitarist of the band, and that album just stepped it up. And 2000, a year later, they released Dead Heart in a Dead World, another great album, introducing more of a – they had a little bit of a thrash sound plus a progressive sound. We're getting a little bit more progressive.
All right.
2003, Enemies of Reality, another step above Dead Heart and the Dead World. It just kept on getting better. And 2005, The Godless Endeavor came out, and 2010, The Obsidian Conspiracy. Now, at this time, the original members of Sanctuary were talking with Worldane, and he disbanded. Well, he didn't disband. He put Nevermore on hiatus in about 2010. They got offers to do a couple shows with the original Sanctuary, so he got Sanctuary back together.
Oh, damn. Multitasking.
It's fucking a multitasking.
Yeah, with the original members. And some of you point out at this time that Worrell's voice just got better.
Oh,
over
really?
Time. I mean, this guy has... He had an incredible voice. He had this baritone, which was just killer. And to me, nobody really sounded like him. And still to this day, not many people do sound like him. Hell, nobody sounds like King Diamond.
Right.
No, nobody sounds like that.
You know, so they got offers to do some shows in 2010 at Sanctuary. They decided that they were going to record an album. Eventually, in 2014, they recorded The Year the Sun Died. And it picked up basically where Into the Mirror Black left off. and it was probably one of my favorite albums of 2014. At that point, it was so good.
Fuck yeah.
You know, they toured, and in between that time, Roald Dean put out the solo album, which was a little bit of a departure from what he was doing. It was metal, but a little bit more of a kind of like a gothy sound, I guess it was. But it was a decent solo album. So they put out the Year the Sun Died in 2014. 2016, Whirl was recording his second solo album, his follow-up. Unfortunately, you know, this guy had demons. He had an alcohol problem.
Yeah, that's fine.
You know.
That's why we're drinking vodka.
Yeah, we're drinking vodka. I'm drinking vodka. Me and Chris both. We're doing the Russian episode.
You're drinking
episode.
Vodka?
We did a shot right before we started. Yeah, it's on the recording. You'll hear it, yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, it's getting nuts in here, man.
And you guys still sound sober.
Yeah, we're fine.
It's fucking weird.
Just one shot. But I can't speak for him.
Hey, I'm actually feeling pretty good. Yeah. Not like fucked up, but I'm clear-headed.
Yeah. Fuck yeah.
You sound pretty good. You don't sound, you know, not slurring speech or nothing.
No, right? Not at all.
But unfortunately, you know, Whirl Dean had his demons. Succumbed to his alcoholism. He was found dead December 13th, 2017, while recording his solo or finishing up his solo album in Brazil.
That sucks. And, yeah, that's some shit.
You know, unfortunately,
was it like was it like alcohol poisoning, or was it just
complications due
to alcoholism? Basically,
yeah, I think it was his liver, and you know, just right. complications of drinking over the years, and
it's
you know,
bad.
Unfortunately, you know. It is too bad because the guy had really he had a great talent. He had a great voice. And, you know, like I said, nobody really sounded like him. Nobody to me still sounds like him. And, you know, the guy was in his 50s and he still kicked ass. He still had a great voice. And unfortunately, you know, we won't hear anything from him again. I guess there is an album called Dead Again by Sanctuary, which I believe is going to be outtakes. That's supposed to be being released this year. I don't know if that's true, but
that'd be
you know,
cool.
We'll see.
Yeah, that's cool.
So, like, whenever Sanctuary or Nevermore would play, would they like play the other songs? Say Nevermore was playing, would they play Sanctuary songs or vice versa?
I never saw Nevermore live. I mean, they put out a live album in 2007, I believe.
Right,
and it was all Nevermore songs. I don't think they really played any Sanctuary songs, or vice versa.
Just a curiosity.
I mean, it would have been cool, you know, to hear a take on a couple Sanctuary songs. But
yeah,
you know, all these albums are still available. If you never heard of them, you know, stream them.
Yeah, we've been turning a lot of people on to stuff, man. We keep seeing people, and I ran into. A buddy of mine had the fantasy baseball draft on Sunday, and he was like, dude, he goes, I've been jamming your podcast. He goes, thanks for that tip on Indestructible Noise Command. He goes, I went out and bought that shit. Dude, that's fucking killer, man. And
that
he's
album,
totally
that album
digging
right
it.
Now is just,
yeah.
I mean, I'm Jones because I don't have the physical.
Yeah,
so I'm like fiending for my fucking actual.
I actually want this in my hand.
Yeah. Speaking of that,
yeah.
Their new album, Terrible Things, is fucking amazing. It kills. And we've been talking with guitarist and founder Eric Barath. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right.
Yeah, I think that's correct.
But Eric said he would do an interview with us, and we're just trying to work out a day and a time. So that's coming. It's going to be really cool because they're blowing it up. I mean, they sold out on Amazon. They've got, like, killer reviews on, like, Blabbermouth. I mean, all over the fucking place.
Yeah, I don't think that album's got one bad review. And it's like, you know, it's like a flashback to 89 or 90.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I did a review. You know, I'm going to post it tomorrow. I did a review of it, and then I talked with Eric about possibly when they tour. about maybe trying to get something going on with them, with Murder Metal Mayhem. So that would be really cool. Maybe get them in here if they're coming through right here. That'd be fucking cool killer. So
yeah, definitely pick that album up. I've been streaming it.
Yeah.
And so it's killer.
Now I'm going to mention something, CK. You're going to get upset. I know you're going to get upset. But Thursday, the day this comes out, I'm going to see Fate's Warning in Queensryche with Joey, my son, on Thursday. The day this comes out in Chicago. The tour's been fucking sold out every night. It's going to be killer. I'm hoping that we get to hook up with Joe up there because he's doing those dates, three dates or whatever. And when I talked to him Monday, he was pretty stoked. So I'm anxious to see that. So it's going to be really great.
Yeah, hopefully you can hook up with him and could get try to figure out when we're going to do our Thin Lizzy episode.
Yeah, I'll talk to him about it. I gave him my cell phone number, and I told him to just call or text me. I told him we'd be up there pretty early to eat and stuff. So if he has time before they go on, let me know. And if not, we can do it after. But either way, hoping to hook up with those guys, so that'll be fun.
I think tonight's the first date that he is playing with
them.
That's
what I thought, too.
Yeah, I think tonight is the first date. And, you know, I'm jealous. I'm not going to lie. But
I know.
I will live it through your eyes.
Well, see, the last time I've seen him in Fate's Warning was when I played in my former band and we opened for him on Awaken the Guardian. That was the last time I've seen him in Fate's Warning. That's a long time ago. So
that was 88, dude.
I know, because by the time I did see him here was on Pleasant Shade of Grey, and of course he wasn't in the band. So I haven't seen him play with them since that long ago. So yeah.
I saw him play with them when they did the 20th anniversary Parallels.
Yeah, that would have been badass.
That was great. That was awesome. And of course, we saw him the first year you came to visit. We hung out with him.
Right.
So you know,
yeah, he's a great
cool.
dude. Joe's a good dude.
Yeah, he's really good dude. Really good dude.
Hey, now, real quick, just because we're in the metal segment, did you guys fucking see that shit? What fucking Randy Blythe did in the Westboro Baptist Church?
Yeah,
I heard he did something, dude, but I don't know what he did. What did he do?
They were Westboro
the
was
party.
Yeah, Westboro was in went to Virginia to rally against somebody trying to get elected into some office.
Okay.
Well, apparently this chick does. What was it, Chris? Do you know by chance? It was in Virginia.
It's somebody who's in office. She's a transgender.
No, but, she's a metal. She's a metal singer, metal vocalist.
Yeah, she's a singer, but with a metal band, or she's a metalhead, but she's also a transgender who's serving in office.
Right. So they were fucking boycotting that.
Oh, the Westboro was boycotting her.
Yes,
I got you.
So
okay.
Fucking Randy Blythe,
yeah,
the singer.
Idiots.
Yeah, Randy Blythe, the singer for fucking Lamb of God. He fucking put this thing up, and he wanted to start this whole thing. He's like, all these metalheads and everybody else put on the most ridiculous costumes you can find, and he just handed out free kazoos to everybody.
Oh, nice.
Just to drown them out. They didn't confront them or anything. Funny. They just stood there blowing fucking kazoos, being loud as shit. There's dudes playing like bucket drums and shit.
Oh, nice.
And fucking apparently like at 9:30 in the morning, there was like six people from Westboro showed up, and they left a half hour later.
Oh, fuck yeah.
It was so fucking awesome.
10,000 fucking metal. Yeah.
Fuck Westboro.
Westboro's a piece of shit.
Fucking prick motherfuckers.
They're assholes. Now, if you guys missed our Goremonger in Gray video, we had that posted up on YouTube, mentioned that earlier, but since we're in the metal segment, of course, we know that Goremonger, the first band to ever play live here, and so they fucking, Joey tore it up. We got three songs on there and a little interview we did with them. So
it gives you a little idea of how his live shows are.
Yeah.
And granted, the sound's not quality like it would be on a stage like that, but it gives you an idea of what he does when he's on stage.
It actually wasn't too bad in there.
I thought it turned out pretty good for how we did.
He killed it. It sounded pretty good.
Yeah, it really did. For what he had to play through, you know, I mean,
right,
it wasn't much.
Dude.
So we did the best we could for him. But so that was fun. Anyway, any other metal news, Shawback? You got anything?
I got nothing at the moment.
Okay.
I just know Aborted's out on tour, And I would with Benighted, and I'd like to see that. I'm not exactly sure of the date, but
yeah, and that Dying Fetus Revocation show. Oh fuck, I want to go to that, but it's like a Tuesday night, and it's a bad week. I think I had something going on at work.
Sucks being an old metalhead, dude.
It does. It does. So, well, CK,
it sucks being an older metalhead, man.
Yeah. Well, you better get those listens up over there in Danbury. Get Angel fucking Rosa out there to fucking show some fucking booty too. You know.
Yeah, I know. Angel's going through some issues right now.
I know. Poor bastard.
He's got a toothache, and he fucking just blew out his back.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
So, Angel, if you're listening, we love you, brother.
Yeah,
take care of yourself, man.
All right. Well, CK, get on that train heading back to Danbury. We're going to continue on. Right. Always good to talk to you, though, buddy.
Always good. And next week.
We're going to do something fun for the listeners out there. Tell them what we're going to do, CK.
We're going to do, we're each going to pick our five favorite debut thrash albums.
Okay. So, five, our own personal five. Top five thrash metal band debut albums. So
right, we'll see how many of us. Oh, and I'm gonna take one out though.
Oh shit!
What's you can't that? Pick. Nobody could pick. Kill 'em all.
Kill 'em. I was just gonna say, Kill 'em all is an easy one.
Yeah, I was gonna say
that's a given. That's a given. So
yeah,
so
that's true because we would all probably all pick that because that was pretty good.
Yeah, and it'll be fun just to see how many we pick together and agree, disagree, and little debate
For sure.
Beat the shit out of each other on,
Well, CCK's got that fucking bloody hook around his neck, so a little intimidating standing over there.
Well, he must be loving it because there's no crazy shit going on.
Yes, that is true. But now that you said that, you might have cursed it. So
no submarine sounds or nothing.
All right, dude. Well, we'll talk to you next week, man.
Hell yeah, dude.
All right, I'll talk to you next week. As always, a pleasure talking to you guys.
Fuck yeah. We're gonna tag out with some. Nevermore. So,
fuck yeah!
Hell yeah!
Crank it.
Hey, Tom, who'd you get to hire to entertain the kids at Billy's birthday party this year?
Pogo and Friends Party Fun. It was a deal. For only $99, they sent out a clown to make the kids laugh and do all sorts of neat tricks, like put on a pair of play handcuffs to see how many kids could get out of them.
Well, that sounds like a blast.
Strange, though. They said it's for only all-boy parties. No girls allowed.
That is weird. Well, hey, I would volunteer to try on the handcuffs and give the kids a real scare.
Call 1-800-POGO-FUN today and book an all-boys birthday party. Stag films are extra, but can always be part of your party experience.
Hey, you know what's that's kind of cool that they wanted to be a sponsor because my son turns 17 next month.
Oh, so wow. There you go.
All right.
Pogo Party Fun.
Pogo Party Fun.
Sound like a good idea. Nice. Well, we're in mayhem now. We're just doing a little silliness. Had CK on the phone. Always good having him in here talking through Skype and doing his thing from Danbury, Connecticut, which is awesome. Now, last week, I played a little joke on your brother.
Yeah, it was. It was a funny fucking joke.
And if you missed it, you got to go back and listen to episode 46 because it's pretty elaborate. It's pretty elaborate. But
I mean, getting to witness the outcome was so great.
That was perfect. Now, in case you missed it, just briefly, his brother, Michael, hates Disturbed. I mean, just fucking hates them. So do I. So does Chris. They're just fucking lame as fuck.
I don't like them at all.
Yeah. So it's been just a joke of us laughing about Disturbed and, about how...
just giving each other shit on different shit.
Tagging each other and shit, So anyway, I sent Michael a Disturbed CD that we found in the garage that when my son was out here. It's kind of funny. Long story short, I put a bunch of soft soap in the Ziploc so it made it look like David Draymond jizzed in the fucking bag and sent it to him as a prize for being the most Disturbed fan
ever.
So
he's pretty Disturbed too, though, honestly.
So we were laughing, ha ha ha, and Michael was a good sport about it. And he knows I love his ass. Yeah. It's just fun. So anyway, I came in here on Saturday to set up for an interview, and the fucking CD and the Ziploc is on my fucking, on the table in here.
Right where you sit.
And I'm like, what the fuck? When the fuck? I thought like they came in the middle of the fucking night or something. But you told me you left it here after you were here.
After the interview, yeah. Michael fucking like, dude, just fucking take it and drop it over there, man.
So I tack it up on the wall. We'll take a picture of that. But my daughter was in here on Sunday, and she saw it, and she thought it was real. And I'm like I would put that on the wall, and she's like, I wouldn't put anything past you. You're fucked up.
I know
up.
You, Dad. You're
and
pretty
And that's
fucked.
My daughter, you know. So, and it's her birthday today, so happy,
happy birthday,
Kate.
Kate.
But, yeah, so she was freaking the fuck out that I had this jizz-soaked Disturbed CD on the wall, which is legit soft soap or some sort of thing like that. So, anyway, so we had a little fun with Michael, and he and the CD ended up on the table, and so now it's in
now
the,
it's pinned to the wall
it's
in the
pinned
studio.
To the wall, so it's good stuff.
That'd probably be its final resting place.
Probably. Now, I mentioned that interview we did. You came in and we talked with Stephanie and Mike Stoltz of Stoltzcraft, the company they've started making some fucking badass
phenomenal,
shit,
phenomenal morbid artwork.
Yeah.
Just
these murder boxes,
shit.
They're
murder
like dioramas, but they're like a body in the ground and like a dude with
a shovel
on,
standing over the top, and there are guys, the one with the guy standing
on the
cliff, yeah,
and his
fucking
wife
awesome
down in the
shit.
Fucking rocks all yeah. bloody and shit, like
awesome
she fell
shit.
Off the cliff. It's fucking crazy. And they make these cool skulls. We bought them and
yeah, the
put them
skulls.
On the Facebook page. You can see. If you missed it, we're going to put more up there this week. They sent me a bunch of really good pictures of some of the stuff they do.
Definitely be letting you guys see what they got working with because
yeah.
it's fucking great.
It is really great. And so anyway, we did this about 20-minute interview with them, and we know that that's a lot to play in an episode. So what we're going to do, we've done this
like
before.
Like we've done before, exactly.
Yeah, we're going to play about 10 minutes of it here coming up in a sec. And then the whole thing, unedited, will be up as a bonus episode here. I'm going to try to do it this weekend because we're going to do a couple of them. Because next week, we're going to do the Big Bad
Big
Hogs,
Hogs
barbecue. Because we did that interview the weekend before. But
Stephanie and Mike
they
have
got
an event coming up
yeah,
that
we
want to let you guys know about. So.
Yeah, we don't want to do it last second.
It ain't
so.
Nothing against you boys in the
of
Hogs.
Of course not. Of course
just,
not.
They have an event that we'd
yeah,
want to like.
It's more pressing.
On. Yeah.
Yeah. So both of them are going to be up, and then the Big Bad Hogs excerpt will be in next week. So should be a good time. Now, we got the Killer Cage match, dude. We fucking played it up. We talked about
yes,
we
sir.
Have a new kind of slant on it. And just a reminder, who do we got going at it in the fucking cage this week?
We man? Have Ronnie DeFeo and is it Isla
Ilsa Koch.
Ilsa Koch.
Koch, however you want to pronounce it. The bitch
Ilsa's
of Buchenwald. Ilsa Koch. She was fucked up. She's like making fucking lampshades out of fucking Jewish fucking prisoners in a death camp. She's fucked. And of course, Ronnie DeFeo of the Amityville Horror fame, the one that shot his family.
Killed his family and supposedly haunted
right,
the house.
Right, yeah. right. So those two are going at it. Kind of an odd matchup. Thanks to Josh Aborning.
Once again, thank you, Josh. Can't wait to see you guys in a couple weeks.
Fuck yeah. And Sue Rovins for providing the random numbers. And then we had Eric McIntosh, who was the listener that picked the extra number that we're going to talk about. The rules, we have listeners pick two numbers between 1 and 60. We made a list of 60 killers and 60 objects, so two people pick the two killers and then the two objects they're going to fight with to the fucking death. And they're fighting in their prime of their killing time, so if they
were
20 and
they're
now fucking 95,
95 doesn't matter. They're 20.
When they were back in their day. So Now, that so those are the rules. And what are they going to be fighting with this time, Chris?
They got a leather belt, which, man, I remember growing up, man. That thing.
Oh, I got some of that.
Yeah, I got some of that. It's more like a fucking leather razor strap, dude.
Oh,
yeah, them
damn,
some bitches, boy.
Back, huh?
Them some bitches, boy. They'll put you in
lay
place
in
right
wood.
Now, dude.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And then we also got a nail gun. With a plenty of nails, man. And
that
I've
could
shot,
be fun.
Shot myself with a nail gun a few times, too.
I'm sure you
have. Don't fucking feel good.
So that could get kind of crazy with those two. Now, we mentioned that this week we're going to try something new with this. We've got a variable thrown in.
Yeah, because thus last week's, all because of last week's cage
right.
match. Because the snapping turtle was just.
That was
like,
good.
When you showed me what the numbers were picked, the snapping turtle popped up. I'm like. What the fuck is that? So yeah, so now we decided that 1 through 10 is gonna be an animal,
right?
A ravenous
pick
animal.
All different, fucked up, not nice animals.
Yeah, not nice.
Not animals. Like a parakeet. I mean, they're like fucking rattlesnakes and fucking a horde of rats and all kinds of shit. So this time though, Eric McIntosh picked, and what did he pick, Chris?
A hive of wasps.
That could get kind of nasty.
Could get fucked up.
Yeah. So we got these two fucking people fighting to the death with a leather belt and a nail gun and a hive of wasps going
in the
fucking
same
nuts.
Area.
So what do you think, dude? I mean,
as far as the people themselves, Ronnie DeFeo, he killed his family.
Right.
Claim maybe it was a mob hit put on
right.
him, but fucking whatever. But,
and he's like an average size guy.
Right.
You know,
he's not
like
big.
Some big dude, you know.
And then you got Iceless Cock.
Ilsa.
Ilsa Coach or whatever. But
she's now, a mean fucking bitch,
right.
but she wasn't a big imposing woman either.
Yeah,
so.
You wouldn't look at her and be able to tell.
No.
So looking at him, who knows?
Yeah.
But this bitch was fucking brutal, like you
she
had
was
mentioned
ruthless,
before,
man.
Like Ed Gein style
yeah.
lampshades.
Yeah,
out of
she would pick.
Skin.
She was her and her husband ran Buchenwald, one of the death camps during the Nazis' reign, and she would go around and pick the inmates or the prisoners that she wanted them to kill. And then make stuff out of their skin for her. So lampshades and all
hobby.
Kinds of shit. Yeah.
Another great hobby.
But she did all kinds of mean
but
stuff.
Now,
like she would dress like real skimpy.
To lure dudes.
And the guys
to,
would
yeah.
be like freaking out and looking at her. And then she
and
would have
like,
him
he looked at me, fuck him.
And she
die.
Would fucking kill him and shit yeah. or torture him. And yeah, it was fucking horrible.
But then
so
you
she
got
was
a leather
nasty
belt
bitch.
And a nail gun too. So, like, the nail gun, like...
Either one of them that gets a hold of the nail gun, the other's fucked. So, that...
Yeah, because you pull that safety back on that. That's how I shot myself one time, pulling the safety back on purpose.
No.
But, yeah, you pull the safety back, and you can pull that trigger all day.
Right.
The belt, you got to get close with.
Right.
And then you got the fucking wasps, or the hornets.
The wasps.
Yeah, the wasps.
Yeah.
And... The wasps win this fight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fucking wasps things fucking hurt.
Yeah,
man.
They will fuck you up. If you got a whole hive of wasps and you're trying to fight, you're going to be too busy fighting off the wasps off
right.
of you so you can get to this person.
Right.
The wasps win this one because you're going to get stung so many fucking times that you're just going to die.
So both of them are going to die.
They're both
the
dead.
Wasps.
The wasps win this
oh,
battle.
Oh, wow. All right. Well. That's interesting. I didn't even think of that, but that's pretty good because I was going to go with Ilsa, but... I'm thinking, you know, that, yeah, I mean, a wasp.
Yeah, you get a whole
be
fucking
a whole hive of them.
Yeah.
It'd be pretty gnarly.
And they put off the pheromones to where, like, if one gets hurt, the other ones come to protect it
right.
and shit. So you're fucked, dude.
Wow.
You got a hive of wasps coming at
all
you.
Right.
You're fucked.
Well,
wasp win.
I mean, this time with the variable actually
dude.
Wins. So.
Yeah.
All right.
First time, dude. When I saw the wasp in my head when you first showed me this, we haven't talked about this before.
Right, right.
Except for you showed me what it was.
Right.
And instantly in my head, I was like, well, they win. Fuck.
Yeah, that's funny. Well, yeah, so there you go. So I hope you guys dug that. We'll do more of this kind of thing. It's kind of fun. We've been doing them with, like, the metalheads and... And I wanted to do some fun ones when we do the 50th show coming up.
Fucking
so
hey,
that's going to be good.
We'll have a couple of the guys do a couple. Maybe.
Yeah. And the week after, we get the 50th, and then the week after is the year. The
year anniversary.
We thought about combining them, but there's going to be so much going on. I think they're just worthy to do separate.
Definitely.
But they are going to be back-to-back, which is kind of cool. So, All right. Well, I think we've properly mayhemed the.
Oh wait, I had that.
Oh yeah,
story,
what's your
dude.
Story? Yeah, sorry.
All right, so it's just a little short one. Ain't nothing. It's fun. We were mean as fuck to some kids one day. All right, so I was working with one of my buddies. I was helping him do some work on his house, and we had been there for a while. And this is like, we're a few blocks from this fucking high school or whatever, right? And like every day after school, there's this one group of kids that would always be coming by, and they'd always be fucking with shit all the time, like in other people's yards all the time, just fucking with shit.
Yeah.
It's like, and we'd like tell them sometimes.
I fucking hate that.
Yeah, we'd tell them sometimes, dude, you guys got to freaking go. You're fucking with too much shit. Just keep walking. So one day we decided it would be fun. this is day one of 2 days. One day we decided it'd be fun if we just took some fucking quarters. At the beginning of the day, while they're all in school, everything's got time to work. We put a fucking construction adhesive on the bottom of them and went and fucking stuck them to the fucking sidewalk and shits. And they stayed all day and just dry. That way the construction adhesive could fucking dry or whatever. We might even put them on there. No, it was that morning. But yeah, they dried. And then all of a sudden, after school's out, here comes this group of kids. And they're fucking walking along doing their dumb shit, and fucking all of a sudden someone sees a fucking quarter on the ground, goes to pick it up, can't pull that shit up. And they're like fucking kicking at the motherfuckers and everything. That was like, I think we had like six quarters out there. I think they got one out of the six up off the ground.
Nice.
It's like fucking, and we're like peeking out the window like we're crackheads fucking watching, just laughing our fucking asses off, dude. And we're just like, this is too fucking funny. So then, that was dumb. We were able to get them up because we knew what we were doing.
Right.
But so the next day, my friend, now this is where we were mean. My next day, my friend, he takes, say, like basically like a Polar Pop cup.
Right.
Puts a dollar in it, pisses in it, and then goes and lays it sideways on the beside the sidewalk in the grass with the fucking dollar hanging out a little bit.
Oh, damn.
Dude,
that's fucked up.
Dude, we were so wrong for doing this, but this is going to be some of the funniest shit ever. And sure enough, here comes that same group of kids that always be fucking around. Fucking come walking up, look down at the cup.
Right.
See the dollar, pick it up, and they're like, oh, shit. Because his piss looked like Mountain Dew at the time.
Oh, damn.
Fucking dude picks it up. He's like, oh, shit, dude. We could tell he had a look on his face. It was like it's all wet or whatever.
Oh, damn.
Like, we couldn't hear what they were saying. But then he starts like shaking it off fucking to dry it off. And it's just, you know, it's his piss just going everywhere.
Oh, that's
and, like I
nasty.
Said, we're in the window of like a couple crackheads just looking like, this is too fucking funny, dude. It's so fucking funny. But yeah, that was some fun shit, man.
That is good.
Like,
well,
I said, it was some mean shit, but it was fun.
While you were talking about that, it reminded me of a funny quick one that I had from high school. I used to put my stuff in my locker, and I never put a lock on it.
Right.
Know? And so somebody was going into my lunch. My mom used to fucking pack me a bag lunch every day.
Right, right.
And I would go to get my lunch, and the snack would be taken out of my bag. I mean, they would go in there and just take that out.
For real?
So somebody was fucking with
me,
right?
Somebody's fucking with your lunch.
So I was like, what the fuck? You know, like, seriously? So I'm like trying to figure out who it is, and of course nobody's fessing up, you know.
Of course.
So I'm like, All right. So my mom had those like Drake's like coffee cake things, you know?
Okay. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
And I took one and I cut it in half and I put a bunch of fucking soft soap. I'm going back to the soft soap. I've used this a few times
as a filling.
Put it in there. And then I took some of my black and curlies and sprinkled them in it. Okay. And then put them together and put it in a Ziploc. So I'm sitting there eating lunch. Of course, they take it. I'm like, all right, motherfucker.
Motherfucker takes a bite of this soap and shit. I'm going to know.
This fucking dude jumped up, like down at the end of the table, and had the fucking coffee cake like this with like a string, looked like a fucking jizz. And he had my fucking black and curlies all over his fucking lips, dude. Stuck to him with the fucking soap.
Oh, my God.
He was spitting it. What the fuck? what the fuck? Like that. I'm like,
no, what the fuck with you,
keep
motherfucker?
Your fucking hands out of my fucking lunch, you prick. You know? You
fucking asshole.
And he, to this day, probably thinks it was fucking jizz.
That's
yeah,
fucking
it was pretty
good.
Funny because it looked like it. It was pretty nasty.
That's fucking
so good. Anyway, that's my quick mayhem story.
Oh, yeah.
So we're going to tag.
You fucking killed this man.
For, yeah, not having a set thing, we just kind of went off on
like,
it.
Like, oh, yeah.
But we're going to tag out a mayhem with the 10-minute excerpt from the Stoltzcraft interview. So check this out.
So you guys are going to have a booth at two different oddities and curiosities expos. One's in Indianapolis on April 6th and Chicago July 20th through 21st. So how's that? What's that about? And tell us about that.
This is actually our first venture into doing vendor shows. We went last year to the Oddities and Curiosities Expo in Chicago and absolutely fell in love with it.
I heard it was really good.
Yeah,
it was one
of
them. D and Patty went to that. I think that's the one where they got lost. Remember they were talking?
Oh, yeah, I remember them talking about that. Yeah.
It was a one-day event.
Yeah.
I think it was from 11 to 6.
Mm-hmm.
And the amount of people that went through there was through the roof.
Yeah, I think
so much so that it's a two-day event this year.
Wow.
Yeah.
Was booth space pretty reasonable?
Oh, yeah. It was, for ours, I think, it was under $100.
Oh, wow. That's really good. Yeah.
They definitely want to keep it at a reasonable price to bring
that's
people
good.
In.
Yeah.
So.
That's good.
But it's
that's
a lot good. Of, you'll see tons of, like, taxidermy stuff. There's,
nice.
Oh,
you got the shirt on, too.
Nice.
I planned.
But yeah, just anything odd and peculiar. I mean, there's people that are doing, what's that, that hanging?
Oh,
right.
Suspension.
D. Snyder's
Strange
Land hanging from the
suspension. Yeah, mm-hmm. Body suspension or whatever.
There's taxidermy classes that you could take.
No kidding. Oh, wow. That's pretty fucking cool. I just had a snake.
Aren't you doing a human taxidermy class?
Yes, tomorrow.
Professor Shawback.
No, actually, the taxidermy thing. My buddy Sean, up in Rockford, Belvedere. Same thing, whatever. But he does taxidermy. And one of my snakes just died. I got it in the freezer. I'm going to take it up there, and he's going to do a wet preservation on it for me and shit.
Yeah.
So I'm going to bring a snake in a jar to the studio eventually, bro.
Nice. Cool. That's really cool. So, yeah, those events will be awesome. I'm sure you guys should check out that Dark History Convention.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
He's got booths, but they're almost gone, so you might want to hit him up. He's a good guy, and
name dropping.
This year,
I know
it's in Champaign. This year it's in Champaign. Last year was Urbana, but Champaign this year
better venue,
and it's more downtown. The other one was a little outside
of town.
This will be easy for students to get to
right.
walk to,
mm-hmm.
so it should be really awesome. So and
nice.
We'll be there, so it'll be even more awesome.
Correct.
Yeah,
yes.
So.
Well, we do really hope that. We're going to wait and kind of see how these two go this year.
Right,
and then if they go well, we really want to next year really amp up. And,
oh, sure.
And,
no, that makes sense. You can't just jump right into it without
going. Yeah, there's an artist we met at the history convention who did those posters I've got over there.
Terrence
Muncie. But he would be a good one to link up to because that's what he does for a living is his art.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes to them all over the place. And he could probably give you some good leads on, like, this is a good one. Because some of these are shyster.
Yeah.
You know, you got to be careful, because you're hoping that the thing's going to even happen or you're not going to be in like some Motel 6 parking lot or something,
Well,
so if you had some people that you could network with, that might be a good one to hit up.
Well,
he's really cool.
And you don't want to go to the ones where they're all selling Scentsy's and Christmas
right.
tree ornaments.
Yeah. I don't think we'll fit in very well.
Right. And Terrence would know because
that's what he does. Dark and Macabre and shit.
Yeah, he does toys and he also does art posters and stuff. He's from Louisville.
Cool.
He's wicked, yeah. Now, these resin skulls, I saw a video on your Facebook page, and I bought a couple for the studio here, but these are really neat in different colors and stuff, but can you maybe explain, like, what is the resin you're talking about, and how do you do that in a simplified way?
The resin, I like to think of it basically as a plastic. I mean, that's essentially what it looks like.
Right.
It's a very hard plastic, essentially, and then I add alcohol ink to that to get the pigments and get the color instead of making it solid It looks more like it's dripping in there and flowing. So I do the resin skulls. I have the resin coffin-shaped boxes.
The coffin
is awesome.
Yeah, the coffin's wicked.
And so, yeah, I got into doing resin maybe about a year ago or so. And
it's basically the same resin they do the tables when they're doing the wood. It's the same resin, right?
Yeah, okay. Exactly the same. And I had never worked with resin before that, so this was my first venture into that. I'm like, yeah, okay, I'll experiment, try something different. If it doesn't work, then I won't buy anymore.
Either keep trying and get it right or just give up on it because I can't do it. Yeah.
Right. And I'm definitely one with my art. I'm always trying and experimenting different things because I never know. Also, like with the market, with the people that are buying things, I don't know what's going to take off. I've had a lot of duds. I've had things that I'm like, oh yeah, this is going to be awesome, and I make a million of it, and then they sit.
So you just keep
trying to reinvent yourself, trying to figure out what's going to catch
on.
That's
the thing about art, always progress yourself.
Yes, and always trying to improve. And if I look back at my art from 5 years ago, like, I was completely different back then.
Oh, sure.
And so
sure.
You're just constantly evolving.
Oh, yeah. It's like being a musician. You know, you think back in albums or demos, and it's like, boy,
I really don't like that,
or wow, that was better than I thought. You know, you look back, I'm sure it's the same type of thing.
Yep, and you can only compare yourself to yourself. You can't, because that's the thing, too. You can get in your head too much if you're looking at every other artist, like, oh, I'm not as good as
that.
You can't think that way.
You can't think
because they're going to be on the same wavelength because they're going to be like, well, I can't do that, you know, but.
Right.
Yeah, and these murder boxes you brought,
listeners. Yeah, we will be putting pictures up.
Yeah, definitely we'll put pictures up, but can you kind of explain? You used the diorama example, which I would say, yeah, that's...
That's basically what it is.
But it's a box that opens and you see a scene. You've got the ones here on the table, you got a scene with a guy on a cliff and a body at the bottom.
And he's just standing there, and the one...
In the desert.
In the desert, it's like a... mafia thing. They're making him dig his own freaking grave, point the gun at him and shit, and the boss is just standing in the back like,
it's fucking cool.
That's fucking awesome. I love it.
So these are really neat.
Her and I collaborated heavy on that one.
That
one's, a lot of days she comes up with her own. I was like, what about one?
And I ain't gonna say what it is. I ain't gonna say what it is on the air, but I got one that I'm looking at for you, Cashman.
nice. That's really cool.
But yeah, like, as far as inspiration and stuff, a lot of this, honestly, when I'm making these, when I'm working on, if I'm in the craft room working on stuff, I'm listening to podcasts, like your guys' podcasts. I love it. Mm-hmm. And listening to, you know, all these true crime stories. And that's how I get all of my ideas for everything.
Sure.
And yeah, I'm not sticking to a serial killer and going verbatim like what they did, but I'm doing
taking
my
an
spin
idea
on
and
it.
Making it yours.
Yeah,
yeah,
so,
that's art.
So, like with the Vegas one, that one is essentially like all the stories you've ever heard of, you know, the casino owners and the mobsters and stuff.
Right.
Like,
even watching Casino, they had them out in the
digging.
Where I tried to ask her if it was Breaking Bad because that looks like a scene from Breaking Bad.
It looks awesome,
except
man.
It would say Albuquerque or something. Or Vegas, they're not that far. So,
how can people get in touch with you to order stuff if they want something like where you look like? Online and shit.
We have Instagram, we have Facebook, and we have our Etsy shop. All of it is under Stoltzcraft.
With a K.
Yep, we have to be different.
It's STOLTZKRAFT.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Kind of like Lovecraft only.
Right?
It sounded more, I don't know. We went through a lot of names trying to pick names, and everything was just kind of falling sort of flat, and then we kind of landed on that one. I was like, yeah,
I liked it. That sounds good.
Mm-hmm. And we'll put the links in the description too.
Yeah, we'll put episode in the links in our episode description, also on our Facebook page as well. I already did link to you this morning, but we'll do more of it. We'll put the pictures up so people that are listening, that if you know where how to find us, you'll be able to find these guys. Anything else you guys want to add? Anything like new you're working on that you want to talk about?
Oh yeah, so this is another project of ours. These
like
candle holders, cathedral windows. So what you do is you would put we don't recommend a lighted open flame, obviously, but they do make battery operated LED candles that you can, and as it appeals to both, you know, people who just like cathedral windows in general because
those are really cool
architecture.
What
did you use resin to make those too?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, wow. He does everything that we have that's wood related. That's all Mike.
Well, that's the sexy bearded handyman.
Yeah, yep. There you go. So he makes all that from scratch, making the base and the cathedral window, and then I go in once he's done and has it all sanded and stained and everything. Then I go back with the resin and add that element to make it look like
life.
It looks like a painted glass window at a Catholic church. It really does.
Totally.
Well, like I said, it appeals to, you know, both ends of the spectrum.
No, that's a fantastic idea.
You need it for your grandma who goes to church every day.
How about it?
Fuck yeah, aborning with them Georgia slams, man. Killing it.
And what's the name of that song? That's pretty...
Ain't no skin off my shitter, if you can't remember. Yeah, ain't no skin off my shitter.
Yeah, it's some fucking funny shit. Georgia grindcore there. They're going to be at the Big Heart of Illinois show on April 13th. Pretty excited to meet those guys. I know that Josh is a big listener and fan of the show, so thanks, Josh. And we wanted to jam your tunes and get people turned on a little bit, little tease, so they know what's about, ready to fucking beat them down. And that's going to be such a good show, man. He's got a great lineup. Yes, we're going to keep plugging it as we get closer.
We'll have more fucking bands playing from that as it gets closer.
Yeah, for sure. So, all right. Well, the bumper music this episode.
Obviously aborning.
Right. Poker Face, Nevermore. An Indestructible Noise Command along with aborning. So, yeah, it was a good lineup, a little mix of some stuff there. Thanks to everybody listening. We really do appreciate it. You guys
appreciate
kick
all
ass.
You motherfuckers. Thank you a lot.
Yeah, it's really awesome. We like to post, like, the top cities and countries listening, so it's just really cool to let people see where people are listening. It's just fucking... I noticed on the top countries this today, I looked at it, had Algeria on there.
Fuck
yeah! We've got a big following in Algeria.
In Algeria,
apparently.
All right, cool.
Isn't
thanks,
that
Algeria.
In Africa?
Get,
or
get it.
Where the fuck is Algeria? I don't even fucking know.
Yeah, I have no idea. I'm geographically incapable.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I thought it was an African country, but I could be wrong. So the first one, I'll read this one. Cindy Lou Who, I thought that was a Dr. Seuss character, commented, I really love the William Hirons episode. My uncle actually served time with him in Vianna, cool. That's the minimum security joint down there in Southern Illinois. And she said he said that he was the nicest guy ever. He also said that there's no way he could have killed those women and the little girl. So
somebody else that knew who he got to know him throughout the years, obviously.
Right.
Everyone's like, and maybe dude was like, I deserve to be here. He doesn't.
Right.
Thank you for coming and sitting. Glad you enjoyed the episode.
Yeah, that's really cool. Like we said in the beginning, we did get a few people that said didn't even know who this dude was. It was really interesting.
And
so.
People from Illinois, too.
Yeah.
So there's that. And then Eric Anderson said, I love that you guys play metal and talk serial killer shit. My two favorite things. Well, thank you. And obviously, me and Pete.
Right.
Exactly.
Well, that's why when we've mentioned this before, when we sat down to do this, you know, the first time we met to talk about this, we're like, well,
what do we like?
Yeah. So that's where
murder
we came
and
up.
Metal.
Yeah. And the mayhem was just kind of, we knew it was going to be intertwining throughout because our lives, past and present, can be some mayhem moments. So we knew it would be fun. And we also knew that we wanted to get friends in on it too. Because we got a lot of fucked up friends. And
they like to do shit,
interesting stories. Speaking of fucked up friends, I'm talking to Mr. Crazy Mike Lanham to see if we can get him in here either on the 50th or the 1 year.
That'd be fun. Like, let him tell someone. Yeah. Oh, man, if he can beat the couch fucker, dude, that'd be fucking great.
Oh, I know. I don't know, though. That's pretty tough to top that. But we're going to see if Crazy Mike could come in and sit down with us. Maybe for the 1 year, that might be fun. But Selma Rogers commented, so does Chris's brother talk to Pete still after he played that joke on him. So, Chris, I'll let you.
Yeah, he does. Hey, we're all a big old family. Oh, over yeah. Here. It's no. all fun and games.
No, so I would good. Never do that to him if I really thought he would get upset about
right.
it. I knew he would laugh, and so it's all fun.
Yeah, it was fun.
So, no worries, Selma. No hard feelings.
It was good looking out, though.
It's all. Now, this last one, dude, I saved this one just for you.
Yeah. This is like Joey with Buster Cherry. What the fuck?
Right.
Regina the Click Killer commented. Hi, Regina the Click Killer. I thought that was me.
I'm imagining Regina on like cell block fucking D.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like fucking cornrows and yeah, pretty tough.
Fucking A.
Probably whip both our asses.
Probably
too.
Not. But she's not. She's probably super hot, dude.
She might be. Who knows? She's killing clit wherever
but
she
yeah,
is.
Yeah, Regina the Clit Killer. She says, you guys need to do more female serial killers. How about it? Well, funny you should say something about that.
That's right. We have some coming up. Regina, your clit killing can continue with some of our topics we've got coming up. Barbara Opal, which is one you brought up.
Which she didn't actually do the murders, but...
Yeah, what was the...
She like got her kids and a couple friends like they were like between the ages of 7 and 17
Jesus. Like Cub Scouts wasn't good enough.
Yeah,
like
she to go kill fucking like her employer.
Oh wow,
it's so fucked. Yeah, it's a fucked up story.
Yeah,
man.
That sounds fucked up. And then Ilsa Koch or Cook Cock, I don't fucking know. The bitch of Buchenwald sounds better.
It sounds way better.
We talked about
we
her.
We do that
one.
We'll probably
match.
Just call her the bitch.
Yeah, the bitch. Yeah. We should do. I should do Rolling Stones, bitch. For that
right,
that would be cool.
And we're gonna do Tammy Faye Tucker too.
Yeah,
she said she got off every time she swung the axe. She had
an
orgasm.
She was orgasming and shit. Yeah, that's fucked up. And then got all holy roller in the joint.
Yeah, talking Pat Robertson and shit.
What and you know what I thought was funny though was George Bush, the son. He was the governor. He's like, fuck
he's like,
this.
No, she put her to death.
Yeah,
dude.
She's dying, man. Fuck it, pull the plug, you know. So, yeah, I know when I lived in Texas, man, it was fucking insane. It seemed like every few months they were
on
the news.
Somebody.
They were killing people. And Henry Lee was executed while I was at Fort Hood.
No shit.
So, yeah. Because I remember seeing that on the news, like, damn, like, with his fucking eye and shit all fucked up. Like, what the fuck, you know? It's pretty crazy. That's so funny. We've got some. And you could go back, Regina, to some of the past episodes, Catherine Knight, Belle Gunness. So we've done some, so definitely appreciate you listening and making that suggestion because it's a good one, and there are some good females, Eileen Wuornos.
Yeah,
there's so
quite
many
a few
of them.
Good ones.
Yeah.
That we say good like it's
yeah, you know what we mean. Thanks to the new sponsor, Pogo Party Fun.
Thank you, Pogo.
Yeah, for running the ad this week to support the show. We
appreciate
it. Look
at that for next month's birthday party for my boy.
That's right. We got a couple more good ones. Looks like we've got talking
to some
sponsors.
A couple more sponsors coming in.
Yeah, something with a home security system. I'm not sure what's going on with that. So it should be good. And don't forget about the Heart of Illinois Field of Scream show coming up in Colfax, Illinois, Saturday, April 13th.
And if you're getting tired of us talking about it, don't worry, because we're going to keep talking about it more, because April 13th gets here, you're going to hear about
it. It's going to be a good time. Gormonger putting it all together and a big lineup of grind and death metal bands.
Check out the Gormonger Facebook page.
Yeah. Or the actual
Heart of Illinois Field of Screams. Yeah, the
event
page. Exactly. Yeah.
So you can get on there and find that easy enough. It's a $5 show, too. That's fucking awesome.
And it's BYOB, so you ain't got to worry about bringing your shit. Or
it's
buying your whatever.
Right. Yeah, it's an outdoor, out in the country, nobody to fucking bother you, corn for fucking miles. There won't be corn this time, but it'll be barren. But
it'll be barren.
Because when we were out there for the bloodshed show,
oh,
the
surrounded
corn was
by
up.
Corn.
Yeah.
The thing that sucks about that, though, is they rotate the fucking crops out there.
So it'll
be beans this year for fucking bloodshed.
That's true. But it's going to be a night of metal, debauchery, and pure mayhem. We'll be there doing some riffing between the bands, which will be fun. Little Killer Cage match. a little silliness, maybe doing some giveaways, some shirts and koozies.
And we'll have our booth there.
We'll have the new booth too, which is going to be badass. The blood-soaked booth is going to be fucking kick-ass.
And we'll have shirts and koozies available for purchase.
So. We will. And maybe Crazy Mike will be there to do some breast exams if any girls need
you
a check.
You never know.
Don't forget to check out murdermetalmayhem.com to pick up one of those t-shirts or koozies. And we'll throw in some free stickers. Also, go check out the Murder Metal Mayhem YouTube channel. Follow us there. Subscribe so you know when we're posting. And also, PeteAltieri.com if you want to pick up one of my books. And speaking of, you know, earlier we talked about your brother Michael and how I played that joke on him and how he brought the CD back. But I thought...
Go ahead.
I thought I needed just one more to put... the nail on the proverbial coffin of it. You know, I mean,
so this is it?
No, just for the Disturbed thing.
Well, that's what I meant. Yeah. For the Disturbed thing.
I'm done after this, what I'm going to play. After I'm done with that, then I'm done tagging him in Disturbed stuff.
All right. I bet he'd appreciate that.
Yeah. So, Michael, if you're hearing this, and I know you will, what I'm going to play for you is done specifically for you and your enjoyment. And with this, I'm going to stop tagging you in the Disturbed shit on Facebook. So you can at least rest assured after you hear this, I will be tagging you no more. So in Disturbed stuff, not saying I won't do it for fucking, you know, one of the other bands that you love, you know, Five Finger Death Punch or something like that. So
fucking, I knew you were going to bring something else up that he's just like, are you fucking serious?
So
start the process all over again.
I got plenty of soft soap, dude. Until next time, keep one foot in the gutter
and your fist crushing a poser's fucking skull.
This one's for you, Michael. Because I know how much you love this shit, brother.
Seems that you're having some trouble. down with the dragon. Open up your ring and let him out with your bird. Get up, come on, get down with the shaman. Come on, get up, come on, get down with the shaman. Brother, get up, come on, get down with the shaman. And this is the gift that has been given to me.
Why the fuck is Disturbed such a pussy fucking band? I mean, they are the furthest fucking thing from metal. They are a bunch of fucking posers, ass fucking bitches, which is gay ass fucking music like this. I mean, seriously, I'm not down with the fucking sickness. I'm not down with shit that has anything to do with these fucking pussy ass fucking posers. David Draven sucks! Big fucking God! Fuck you, poser! Down with the shaman. Your mother, get up. Come on, get down with the shaman. Your brother, get up. Come on, get down with the shaman. And this ass out, come on, baby.
Mother, man.